Hi, this is Case Johnston. This is the Literally Podcast. Today we're on the campus of St. Joseph Catholic High School in the Black Box Theater. Our guest is Amir Jackson, founder and director of Nurture the Creative Mind. And today we're going to talk briefly before his event tonight at the Black Box Theater at St. Joseph Catholic High School. Welcome, Amir.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me. This is Ignorance is Bliss by Hanzi, age 15. I don't see why ignorance is so bad, why it is scoffed at and makes people so mad. Since when did not knowing become so shameful? Because I know everything now, and all it is painful. You know, when I was a kid, all I did was laugh. My head was full of air and it kept me afloat, and I did not care as long as I knew one cheerful note. When a splinter in my toe was the closest I'd get to watery eyes and the sorrow of regret. I used to find faces beautiful because that's all I could see. Now they are beautiful because they are not me. When I was a kid, all I did was smile, and the world was as big as I made it. So I made it the stars that fall on my roof and the crystalline dandelions that would go with a poof. I made it the lavender crowned by bees and the sound of mommy's jingling keys that announced her return from a long day of work. Never could I imagine what it was like in mommy's grown-up world, where the splinters are so big you can't even see them, but you sure as hell can feel them. Where the tears are so real, the ocean swells and reels, and everywhere, everyone hides from the sun, because nobody can tell when night may come. When I was a kid, I never planned on being raped or being taken away from my family, and I've never felt and planned on being so lonely, because ignorance is bliss. So tell me again why ignorance is so bad. Tell me why a child should know the things that I do. And don't you dare say that it'll make me stronger, that in the end, I'll be glad, because ignorance is innocence. And I want that back.
Confronting authors with real questions about the writing process, the difficult and disheartening publishing industry, and why anyone would choose to torture themselves in the world of writing, this is the Literally Podcast. With your host, writer, runner, and the literary voice of Ogden, Utah, Case Johnston. Exposing literature, the authors, the business, the process. The Literally Podcast.
So let's start with, why'd you pick that piece? What is this? What is this piece that you read for us today? Where does it fall in informing the? Where does it fall in informing the audience about where you, how you see the world?
So that was a piece that was written by a young lady that I worked with, who was in a treatment center, and the treatment center had reached out to us about working with their group of students in hopes that a class of sorts, a creative class, would help them overcome some of the trauma that they were experiencing. And that class led to what is now and what I consider to be like my life's purpose. Before the class, Nurture the Creative Mind, the organization that I started, was more of a community service project. It was more of a hobby. And after that class, during and after that class, I realized like how very important a young person finding their voice is for them, and how impactful and powerful it could be. So we ended up publishing a book of those students' poems, and I keep we don't have any more copies. I only have one copy left, and I keep that copy to remind me like why I started the program and why I started the organization. So it's something that I started with because of the importance it held for the students that we worked with, but also what it signified for me and pursuing my life's purpose.
It's interesting because my first question obviously was going to be what can literature and how can creative writing be used as an outlet for people to reach outside themselves to, sometimes it's therapeutic, sometimes it's to find their voice. And you already answered the question, but I wanted to touch on this idea of voice a little bit more. Now, we briefly talked earlier before the podcast, and voice means so much. It can take on a lot of different forms when it comes to different types of people. With writers, obviously, it's when you find a voice, it's stylistic. It's your own. When people read your work, they know that it's you, and it takes a long time to get there. But with other people, with people who maybe aren't writers, but people who are in different places in their lives, voice could take on many, many different important ways to kind of grow as a person. How would you define voice for people who aren't specifically writers, people who maybe might be singers, or people who might be hurt, or people who might have not found themselves? Because voice obviously can be seen as emblematic of something much more.
Mm-hmm. I want to say that I think that we all recognize that we have a voice. And so I don't necessarily believe that that's the important thing. Knowing you have a voice, or that we have a voice, isn't as important as believing in it, right? So I think the belief in one's voice is the defining moment that leads to success. And that doesn't matter what area we're talking about. We could be talking about artistically, sports, academically. It literally is, when you look at, and I've put a decent amount of thought into this, and trying to figure out, like, what makes a Steve Jobs a Steve Jobs? You know, what makes Michael Jordan Michael Jordan? You know, what makes anyone who achieves any level of greatness? You know, we could even come locally and you know, what makes an Alan Hall an Alan Hall? And I think that what makes these individuals who they are is not that they are superhuman or super special. They just believe in themselves, you know, and they believe in themselves with such conviction, right, that what we see as obstacles, they see as opportunities. What we see as impossible, they see as probable, you know, or potential. I think that the voice, we all have one, and I think we all recognize it, but I think that the real power comes in believing in that voice.
And I think it's the value of it too, you know. Once you say, my voice is valuable, and I think if we come back even to the young woman's poem, you know, being able to write the poem and say, no, you know, it's not ignorance, it's innocence, and I want that back, that moment, that power of being able to say, this is my voice, mm-hmm. and I'm saying it to you that I lost something here, mm-hmm. and don't tell me that you'll learn from it, you'll grow from this. This young woman writes, and she says, no, my voice is saying, don't tell me that, because I want it back. This was not my fault. And so I love this idea of how, like you said, how voice, it's not just knowing that the voice exists, but believing in, I have the value to use it.
For sure.
Yeah, I think that's I love that. Voice is it's a very interesting thing. And I always do that to guests, and Brandon knows that everything that we talk about for 20 minutes before we get here, I'm going to use against you. Creative writing, literature, there's a lot of things that happen with Nurture the Creative Mind. I kind of wanted to look at this on more of a personal level, and this is how I'm doing that again to you. Using the arts to extend outside yourself. I know the example just because I'm a writer of, I know a lot of writers who are more than happy to, successful writers. I mean, I'm not just saying writers like me who are trying to claw their way up. Successful writers who are very happy living in their little world, writing their, doing their work, and then staying there.
Mm-hmm.
Where, personally, with you, what is it that makes you want to extend outside of that?
I guess I'll start with where we left off, and that's with finding and believing in your voice and the value of it. You know, that's a journey that I am personally still on, right? Like, I'm not necessarily sure that there is a finish line to that as much as it is a journey, and I'm still on it. And what's most beautiful to me, to be honest with you, is me understanding like the struggles that I have had so far as not believing in myself at times, being able to impact someone else to find their voice and to believe in their voice is like the greatest accomplishment. If I write something or if I do something artistically and achieve some level of success, that's great, like, for me. Wonderful. And maybe some of the people that that are impacted by it. But if I'm able to impact 20 other people to find their voices, and they're able to impact however many other people, it's just multiplying that potential impact in our community and society and so on and so forth. So the reason why, like, I want to be involved is because I believe in the ripple effect. I don't believe that it serves anybody at all to, not even yourself, to achieve things in silos alone. I think that the greatest thing for society is if we reach outside of ourselves and outside of that silo and positively impact as many people as we can. And so that's what I really want to do. Like I said, that's the journey that I'm on and the path that I have accepted. That's the reason for me, my reason.
Well, it feeds into perfectly to what I've been. I thought about this last night. It was like 2 a.m. in the morning, and I thought about what are Amir and I going to talk about? That's what I do at night.
That's a creative time of bliss.
Well, my son came into bed, and he decided to lay horizontally in our bed, and so I was awake for about 3 hours.
Well, isn't that the way you're supposed to lay?
It was like an H.
We were
vertical. He was horizontal, and he's really good at getting his big toe right up my nose. So I was thinking about it, and I was like, what Amir and I can talk about? And I was like, Amir and I have had a lot of conversations. We've never had microphones in our face before, but we've had a lot of conversations. And I thought about, and it just came into my head, like just the name itself, Nurture the Creative Mind. And going off what you just said about like just reaching out to people and impacting that ripple effect, I think about just the name of the organization itself. I think in a way like there's a lot of things that we do that are product based. Mm-hmm. That we are going to work towards a goal, and there's going to be an end, and that's going to be it, and we're going to say, yeah, that's fantastic, and we're going to move on. But I think that the name itself says nurture the creative mind in the sense that the mind itself is always growing, especially with kids. I mean, kids' brains, in my class that I teach here at St. Joe's is proof of this, even though they're a lot smarter than I ever was at the time, kids' brains don't fully develop until they're in their mid-20s, mm-hmm. And so I love this idea of nurture the creative mind, where this is touching something that is developing, that's growing, and it's planting seeds, and it's saying, okay, well, if I can do it with youth, then it's going to go a lot farther and touch that ripple effect. And so I was just thinking about the name of the organization last night in the middle of the night. And it's like, you know, it's really pretty brilliant, because you could say nurture the creative child, but even with nurture the creative child, there's a product. Mm-hmm. The product is the person, but with the mind, it's kind of this more global continuation of thought that never stops. Like you said, I agree. I'm 41 and I'm still trying to find, is this really my voice? So on and so forth. So moving from there, we're looking at this is a process instead of a product, this idea that growth and creativity. And we talked briefly before the podcast, and I'm going to try to really stay away from anything negative. A lot of people struggle to see or try to put the quantitative value on the arts. Why do you see that as maybe problematic, but also where do you see maybe how it could not be?
Well, I think that there's a reason why, for certain, right? I try not to be just problem-based, right? Seeing a problem and just noticing the problem, right? That really is kind of like a frustrating thing to me when people are just complaining to complain, or they're just pointing out issues. I try to be solution-based also, right? And I also like to look at solutions as, and it's not always the case, but I always try to find ways that I could fix it, right? Like, I'm a fixer. And so, to answer your question, I think that a lot of it is the fault. A lot of responsibility can be placed on the creatives themselves, creatively minded individuals, artists, and there's a great number of reasons for that. And then there's also the other side, and that we could talk about the reasons why other people don't value it and things that they're doing that diminish or minimize the value of art. But rather than talking about that, I'd rather talk about what we could do as creatives. And I think that for a long time, creatives have set themselves apart from other people, right? They've created this almost like elitist type of mentality that we are different. Rather than trying to show everyone else how they are like us, right? We've said, no, you're different than us. I also think that in creating this division and separation, these categories, this like elitist almost stratosphere, right? We have done a terrible job showing how arts is interjected in life, period, right? It's not just, you're not just an artist if you're a painter. You're not an artist, you're not just an artist if you are a poet. Art is injected in every portion of our lives. We are all artists. We are all creatives. If you are a human being, you have done something creative and artistic in your life. And we have to show, we have to do a better job of expanding this umbrella. And I'm talking about like people who mow their grass. There are some people who mow their grass and I'm like, damn, that's a beautiful lawn. And I can't do it. I don't know what they do and how they go about mowing their lawn and making it so beautiful, but I could try 20 times, right? And I wouldn't be able to mow my grass that beautifully.
And it's an absolute craft. It's a craft.
Yeah. It's beautiful. Buildings that are created and built, that's art. Your barista, right? There's bad coffee and good coffee for a reason. Right? Because some people make better coffee, right? That's the other is to it. It's a craft, it's an art form, you know? And I think that we as artists and creatives, we need to start showing, we need to start illustrating, right? As we do so well in other areas of our lives, illustrating a story, illustrating an idea, we need to start illustrating how creativity is really life in general, you know? Art is just life in general. We express ourselves, some of us express ourselves when it comes to like literary arts. Some of us express ourselves when it comes to performance arts. And some of us are expressing ourselves when it comes to our lawn, but we are all artists. And I think through doing that, through bringing people into this fold of and expanding, they will start to value art because they will start seeing themselves as artists as well.
I didn't see it that going that way, and that's I love it. Especially this idea of let's put it back on us. You know, I get it. You know, you've seen it. Artists can say, "Well, I'm better. because I create. I've said it myself. I've said it myself when I defend like why I went MFA instead of PhD. Well, I said, well, I don't want to study. I want to create it. It makes makes me better than that. And so I've said it. I've said that to people, you know, and
or poets that go to a poetry reading and say someone else's poetry isn't poetry.
Right.
Like absolutely. That kind of stuff, yes, man. It's absolutely. Super irritating.
It's really irritating. And I love the idea of it too. And if you're going to put that wall up, how do you expect people to climb over it? You know, sure. especially when people, I think, and just going off what you're saying is it could be intimidating. You know, if somebody's talented, it can be intimidating unless that person is able to look out and say, okay, we're together on this. This mm-hmm. is your lawn is just as good as my writing. My neighbor Larry, his lawn is amazing, you know. And I know he looks at me. I know he does it, and I know he tells me I need to trim in his brain. You know, he's telling me, you know, there's a lot of things going on wrong. But you're right. You're absolutely right. And I think if we can, I appreciate the way you attacked it in the sense that it's just as much as our responsibility as it is to other people's.
For certain.
Yeah.
And it's potentially more our responsibility. And this is the thing. I don't know who, like, on the balance or the scale, who has more responsibility. But at the end of the day, like, I have ultimate control over what I can do.
Right.
Right. So, you know, that's the way that I approach it, because that's the only thing I really can control.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. And you know this. We've talked about this specifically. Is how do we create not only our own value through voice, but our own value within the community and have people look at artists, especially young artists, especially people who... And I think that's another type of a prejudice is age.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
absolutely.
We look at these... Like that poem was fantastic. And I have students in my AP class right now. I had a girl who wrote a first line of her essay I could never write.
Mm.
It was that good. And I think there's another prejudice, and it comes with age, and it's saying because you are young, you don't deserve to be. I think it's honest to God this. I think they're saying you don't deserve to be that good.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
know.
Well, I think that this arbitrary standard that we have that you can't be good or valuable until you are a certain age is like completely illogical. Right? It's super irrational. Young people are the most underutilized resource, one of the most underutilized resources that we have. And to be honest with you, I believe that since the beginning of time, as long as I can think of, older people, right, have been putting their thumb on younger people.
Yeah.
And I think some of it has to be, you know, because of fear. Right? Like the idea that, if these younger people, if we give them a voice, where will my voice go?
Mm-hmm.
Right? As if all voices can't be heard. Like there's this scarcity mentality about who in society can be impactful. Right? And it's just, it's not true. Like this scarcity model of only so much is allowed in is just not true. But certainly young people, and I think that with our organization, with Nurture the Creative Mind, that's something that we've done, and I'm very proud to say that we've done well, is show them how they can have an impact in the community today. They don't have to wait until they're 18 and graduated. They don't have to wait until they've graduated college. They can have an impact whenever they decide, right, to have an impact. And that impact can be valuable, and they can become a participant in society rather than just seen as a beneficiary of society. And I think that's a super important thing.
Yeah, and I think with youth, too, with the older you get, the more people have affected your voice.
Absolutely.
Have tried to put their, like you said exactly, put their thumb on it here,
mm-hmm.
wiggled it around there, cut it up, told you no, that doesn't work too many times. So by the time you try to create, your creation is adulterated.
Mm-hmm.
And with children, we truly are just going back to what we are truly missing, that untapped resource, because they do not, their work is not adulterated the way that I would say mine absolutely is. And as adults in the community, art community, it's our duty to not do it. To not push them down, to not say you don't fit in this category.
Absolutely.
And so
make room.
Make
room for those voices. You know, let me say this also about like the value of creativity. In the very simple argument, right, that can be made for how valuable creativity is. There's this quote in our office, and we have a bunch of them, but one of the quotes is, if it were not for creativity, we would still be dragging our knuckles.
Mm-hmm.
And that is fact. Mm-hmm. Without you can't have innovation without creativity. You can't have new thought, new idea, without creativity. Creativity is elevation of humanity is, in my opinion, symbiotic with creativity.
Mm-hmm.
If the human race is to evolve and to become something more elevated than it is today, we need creative minds leading that, you know? And so I think that creativity is extremely important. And as and how this connects to older people and younger people working together, there's a mentorship that happens. Like, older people have a experience, mm-hmm. right? But younger people have ideas, you know, like these yep. fresh ideas. And if you could like partner, and I think Nurture the Creative Mind is a really great example about what happens when you partner mentorship and experience with fresh ideas.
Yes.
It becomes something that hasn't been seen before and transforms. And, you know, Nurture the Creative Mind just in November celebrated our 10th year anniversary. And so at that point, I became a little bit more confident. You know how you like old people say whatever they want to, and you're like, well, he's old, he's earned the right.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I feel like after 10 years, I've earned the right to say certain things. And I think that Nurture the Creative Mind, because we have taken this model of empowering young people and mentoring them, right? We have helped to, we have been a part of the transformation of a community. Not to say that we did it, we have been a part of it, and I believe an important and integral part. And so when you do that, when you have both of these groups, demographics working together, right, for a common goal, greatness is nearly guaranteed.
Absolutely. Creating avenues for people to have ideas.
For certain.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at that, I mean, and I think there's a fear, going back to older adults, there's a fear not only that the younger people will take their spot as if there aren't enough spots, but there's a fear that as an adult, you've been knocked down quite a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a fear to say, I have a new idea. Listen to my idea. Because for the most part, people expect you to everything to be rational, everything to be thought out, everything to have been proven before the idea is given.
Yeah,
and sure. with youth, and I can't emphasize it enough working here at the high school, I don't want them to feel that way. You know, I want them to feel as if you got an idea, I want to hear it.
Absolutely.
And it's transitional. I think some students are even at 16, I'm sure you've seen this, by the time they hit their mid teens, they're already tamping it down. Mm-hmm. They're already like, wow, I kind of got shot down last week with an idea, so I don't want to bring it up. They're already there. I've been knocked down too many times already. And I love that Nurture the Creative Mind gives them that avenue to say, no, it's all valuable.
Yeah,
it's all valuable.
Some of the best projects that we've experienced, or you know, have had the most impact for our organization, may have been considered by other people some of the worst ideas, right? Like, oh no, we can't do that. One example is the street piano project. That project was on our committee at the time, on our board, we had a couple of young people on the board. And we were talking about a few ideas, and they wanted to do something where it was a guerrilla project. And so I started looking at things, and I thought about this piano thing. I saw it on Pinterest, actually. I was like, oh, let's do that here in Ogden. And one of the students said, why don't we just put it on the street? Let's just put it on the street, right? Like, and leave it there. Let's not ask permission. Yeah. Let's just do it, right?
Because
Don't ask, just do it. Let's just do it. And this is like a young person's mentality. Let's just do it. Let's just go and do it. And if I would have taken my my executive gavel, right, and my administrative cap, I'd have been like, well, these are the reasons why we can't, right? Instead, I said, yeah. Let's do it.
This probably wasn't easy in your brain. There's probably fights going on.
There's a lot of, because our organization is attached to this, right? And so there's a lot of potential consequences, negative consequences that we had to consider. But weighing the negative consequences and the potential impact and empowerment that it had for that young person, the consequences did not outweigh the impact. And so we went with it.
And it's done well.
Thanks. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Everybody loves it.
Thank you.
It's one of those things. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Questions, Brandon?
No, I'm just enjoying this. This is great.
Yeah. Thanks,
Mary. Well, once we got past my boring questions, we started to really talk. It was good, you know, but...
The last thing is I like the tie-in of artistry and entrepreneurship. Amir, you spend a lot of time, more time teaching than being an artist yourself. You want to put a percentage on that?
See, now this is the interesting thing. I'm so happy that you said that and asked that question. Because if you were to look at it in a traditional sense, I probably spend 90-80% of my time doing something like individual art, right? I used to play the guitar. I don't play the guitar very much. I used to write a lot. I don't write very much anymore. Here and there from time to time. That being said, I've started to understand that it's not that I don't do art very much anymore. The art that I pursue is different, you know? I think that my art form has become inspiring people. I think that's like what I do. So I think that's my artist skill. Like some people are carpenters, some people are like, you know, musicians, whatever your artistic craft or skill is, podcasters, dope podcasters, right? When it comes to inspiring young people and getting them to see themselves as valuable, that's my art form.
And we all know, and we've seen this growing up, that certain teachers are artists.
For certain.
I mean, I can put on one hand teachers that their art is inspiring people. Their art is making students better. Their art is giving value to voices. And it's an artwork, because I've been in classrooms where there's no art going on, you know, yeah, and there's no inspiration.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I want to say one last thing. I know we're running low on time. I want to say this because I think it's important that I think one of the defining characteristics of a great leader, right, and how I try to, the characteristics that I try to emulate with young people is inspiring them like so well, right, to believe in themselves that they said, I did that, right? Like you helped them along the way, so on and so forth, right? But at the end, they feel like they got there. You know what I mean? Like that's the voice. It's like taking the ego out of it, like for me, right? Them pointing towards me and saying, Amir helped me, but that's wonderful and that's great, so on and so forth. But it means much more to me when they, on the other end of it, say, wow, that's a project I did, right? Like, that project that I did had some impact. That's a wonderful thing. And that's like, Like, that to me is super important. Taking the ego out of it and not being about you, but it being about the person that you're trying to inspire.
Yeah. And that's, and then it's a gift to them. It's a gift. And,
absolutely.
And or seeing when they do a project with your help and then the next project without your help, you see it and it's just mind blowing.
Absolutely.
You're like, when the point comes that they did do it completely on their own, but you know that you planted that seed to make them confident.
Absolutely.
And then you're blown. And then that's the point where you're like, you're a lot better than me.
Yeah. Yes. Which it happens often.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And yeah, some people can't let that ego go, but it does, especially with youth. This is Case Johnston. This is the Literally Podcast. We didn't talk a lot about literature, but I believe that we did. We are at St. Joseph Catholic High School campus in the Black Box Theater. This is a prelude to the Aquinas event, Nurturing the Creative Mind, tonight at 7 p.m. Thanks so much, Amir, for joining us. I hope we can do it every Wednesday at 4.
Thanks, thank you, man, for having me.